Now, for our first sermon by Mr. Kim Barton, are we really?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Are we really? Are we really one nation? Are we really under God? Clue on that, yes. With liberty and justice for all? How many here remember reciting this in school? Okay, most of us. How many have never recited this in school? Yeah, the younger ones. That's a shame. Used to take place every day in schools throughout these United States of America. How many have taken an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America? I have. Thank you. For those of you that have. I have anyone who has served in the armed forces, law enforcement, or fire service has taken that oath or something very much like it, and that's why they call them sworn personnel. Anyone know of others who take that? I know that the dispatchers with the City of Tulsa Fire Department at one time were also sworn, and they were badged. But that hasn't been the case for quite some time. Other thing about that oath is, you don't take the oath, you don't get the job. That includes members of our governments, both local and federal. You know, our president, members of the Congress, Senate, mayors. You get the idea, right? That's why the oaths they take are called oaths of office. To my mind, it's kind of like when we accept Christ as our Savior and become children of God. Because remember what I said about if you don't take the oath, you don't get the job? John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Shines a light on that, doesn't it? Makes it a little clearer. John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I recently learned a new way to look at this, and it goes in the word "so." Hinges on the word "so," and this, "for God loved the world, for God loved us in this manner. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." A lot of people, when they read that "so loved the world," that it was God loved us just so much. But the word, if you go into Strong's, means "in this manner." Here's the thing, like the prodigal son, we can walk away from obeying God. And if we do that, then just like with that son, we will be on our own. He wanted to be on his own, and he was completely on his own. Nobody could tell him what he could or couldn't do. He kind of liked that plan, I think, at first. He was completely his own man, right? Then he found out what that really meant. He'd gone from being the owner's son, a big shot, to being someone nobody cared about at all. But his father cared. He was watching for him, hoping he'd return. Finally, one day, the son came to his senses, left that way of life, and returned home to see if he could get a job as a hired hand. He told himself, "How many? Here I am. I'm starving. I want to eat the hog slop." And everybody that works for my dad are doing great. So I'm going to go try that. So he's walking home. His father's watching. Saw him coming from a long way off. Ran to him, hugged him, welcomed him home, threw a great party. You can read about that in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32, or Matthew 18, verses 15 through 35. Why am I going on about this? Because to my mind, America is a prodigal son, where much of our nation has turned away from Jehovah God. It's not just that nobody cares about us, rather, it's that there are many who actively want to do away with us and the Christian voice. It is becoming more and more unpopular to espouse Christian beliefs and attitudes. So, what can we do? First off, we can share God's warnings. 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from on high, from heaven, and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There are a couple of things that I want to bring to our attention today. First, notice that God said, when. He didn't say if, didn't say if I might or maybe. God knows us, and he knows that man will fall away. So he warns us about what will happen. Good parents do that. And he's the best father that there has ever been and ever will be. And his warnings are not empty. Unfortunately, as a nation, we aren't listening. And we're not responding as we should. If you've noticed, the world that I see is not getting any better, nor are people listening to him. Listening to him. Repenting of our sins, don't see that a lot, and turning back toward God. Rather, it seems people are becoming more and more obstinate, what God calls being stiff-necked. I found out a while back. That actually, you know, refers to cattle, and that was a real thing. When the farmer or whatever is trying to turn the head of the direction, it would just strengthen up and just keep right going straight, wherever it wanted to go. When we were kids, we went to visit an uncle of ours in Texas. And our brother was riding a horse. And the horse would go up so far and then turn around and come back when it decided to. My brother kept trying to turn him around. And it was one of the things. My uncle had raised Shetland ponies for a while and gave that up because kids wouldn't make the horses obey. And so the horses do whatever they want to, and they get dangerous. And the ponies, same thing, and they would end up hurting the child, and they would say that the animal was dangerous. No, the animal was doing exactly what it was being able to do. If you train an animal and make sure that they do what they're supposed to do, they won't do that. So he gave my brother a length of garden hose. He said, here, go fix what you broke. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, when that horse starts to turn around, you need to make him go straight. And if he doesn't, you whop him upside the head with that hose. Took him a little while, but it worked. After a while, that horse decided, yeah, maybe I better keep going this way. So we need to open our eyes, consider what's happening, not only in America, but all over the world. Things are going topsy-turvy. We're becoming less and less secure, less and less law-abiding, and less powerful as a nation. Meanwhile, the nations that many consider to be Gog and Magog, are growing more and more powerful. Remember, God tells us that He is the one who puts people in power. He decides who to bring up and who to put down. Romans 13, 1 and 2, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. That means us too, as America, doesn't it? That's the only way I can wrap my mind around sometimes who becomes president and vice president. But we still need to vote. Can't just leave it up to God, because this is the world we live in. This is the government we live in. So work with what we've got, with the tools we have. That's how those of us who believe in God influence the direction our nation takes, because we already can see those who don't are doing all they can to influence it. God has tried time and time again to get people's attention by bringing hardships to their lands, wars, rising crime, horrible inflation. Open your eyes. Look around at the things that are happening around the world and realize that it's happening, because it is happening here also. The thing is, and this again, in my humble opinion, God's been trying to get all of humanity's attention for the last several years at least. I'm pretty sure it's been always, but. And He's been ignored. And that's truly sad, because we know from past history that God would only put up with that for so long, and when He's tired of that, He'll bring judgment, and that's hard. How many of you have been spanked in your life? How many of you want to get spanked again? There you go. Here's how I see it. We're here because we believe that God is our creator and our ruler. That's why we're here. We believe that Jesus is our ruler, is the only begotten Son, and He died for our sins. That is what makes us God's children. Not that Jesus died for us, that we accept that and we believe in that and we repent of our sins and turn to Him. As His children, we have duties to perform. We are to tell others. We are to live first according to His word. Here's the rule book. Basic instruction before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. We're to tell others about our Savior. And we are to be busy about this work because, what? The time is short. So, let us be aware of that. Be about our Father's business. Just think what a difference that would make.